Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew 21. In verse 18, "Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry," and this is, of course, talking about Jesus, "and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said, 'Let no fruit grow upon you ever again.' Immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, 'How did the fig tree wither away so soon?' So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, "Be removed and cast into the sea," it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive.'" Now, this is an amazing promise from God. That if you ask believing, you will receive. The word believing there is from the word pistis in the original language, and that's faith. There's a difference between simply believing and faith. This is really talking about if you ask in faith, it will be done for you. So the question is, what is faith? One reason why believers have trouble sometimes getting things like answers to prayer, perhaps, or dealing with the fact that they didn't get an immediate answer to prayer, is because they don't actually understand what faith is. Faith is not simply believism. The devils believe and tremble. Faith is not simply believism. Faith is much more than that. Faith has a source. Now, without faith, on the other hand, it's impossible to please God in Hebrews 11:6. Because in Romans 14:23, whatever is not of faith is sin. So sin, whatever is not of faith, in Revelation 13:8, in Psalm 103:12 and Revelation 1:5, will be removed from time. Sin cannot survive the activity of the blood in time. That necessarily means that whatever is not faith cannot survive the activity of the blood in time. The blood of Christ will only allow things to exist in time that are faith. When God unrolls the books to evaluate us at the Bema seat, He will see our moments of faith. We want God to unroll an enormous scroll. We do not want God to unroll a bubblegum wrapper. We want our life to amount to a life of faith, but that is not the same as believism. There are plenty of people who believe, but they don't have faith. So faith is different. Belief is simply a system of acceptance. But that acceptance may or may not be reasonable. For example, there's plenty of strange cults and religions who really do in earnest sincerely believe what they believe. But it's not counted to them by God as faith. The Bible tells us very clearly what faith is. Faith gives us understanding of things. Faith gives us insight. Faith gives us relationship. In Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Well, now we also understand that by physics, but when this was written, it was exclusively by faith. Physics has caught up to what the Word of God says in some things, not in others. And so we have understanding by faith. Now that understanding always holds up. That understanding that we have by faith never lets us down, and it doesn't matter if it's understanding of the theological or of the tangible. I love that example of Jericho, where scientists wanted to find Jericho. The Bible spoke of Jericho. Jericho was very significant in the history of Israel becoming a nation. Joshua entered into the promised land, and the first thing he had to do was deal with Jericho. Jericho was difficult to deal with because they had such a fortified structure surrounding the city. The walls of Jericho were difficult to penetrate. So Joshua, it says, marched himself and his group around Jericho 7 days and then 7 times. And then finally the walls fell. Now, scientists wanted to find this because that was an amazing account. And it was a fairly detailed account. So in the 1950s, archaeologists started looking for Jericho, but they couldn't find it. And their conclusion was that the Bible was mistaken, that Jericho was maybe an allegory or a myth, something other than a real city. Now, people who had faith, people who trusted the Bible, had no problem with this. But the people who didn't trust the Bible, the people who didn't have faith, did not believe the Bible because they couldn't, by sight, observe Jericho when they went looking for Jericho. They couldn't find it. Until, of course, one bright archaeologist says, hey, why don't we look where the Bible said it is? They were looking in a different place than the Bible said it was, and they couldn't find it there. Well, you know, if I go to Florida and I look for New York City, I'm not going to find it. And I can say, New York City is a myth. I've looked all over Florida and I can't find it. Well, no kidding. So they started to dig where the Bible said it was, and guess what they found? They found Jericho. They found all of it. They found the walls. It says that Israel went over the walls and invaded Jericho, and people said, how in the world are they going to do that? The walls fell down, one wall on top of another. It was a double-walled structure, two walls standing side by side, surrounding the city. They fell over, they didn't crumble. They just fell over, like Pop-Tarts on a plate. And they just walked over it. Jericho was so well preserved, they even had petrified bread in the ovens. It was amazing what they found in Jericho. They found it. You see, every time somebody says you cannot trust the Word of God, that person is wrong. I don't care if it's Joe Schmo. I don't care if it's some guy with a PhD. I don't care if it's some guy with 10 PhDs. I don't care who they are, what they do, what they claim. If they're saying that the Bible is wrong, they are wrong. The Bible is right. The Word of God says, let God be true, but every man a liar. If somebody is saying God is not true, that person is a liar. They may not intentionally be a liar. They may honestly not believe it, but they're still wrong. Nothing the Bible has ever said was ever shown to be false in the end. Even the mark of the beast. People are saying, oh, 666, the mark of the beast. And some weirdos put 666s on their hands as though that meant anything. Well, now we understand what that means. 666 is not a number, it's a code. In Hebrew, the number 6 and the letter W are the exact same symbol. If you have no context, then you assume it's a number. John, when he saw that, had no context, so he assumed it was a number. Without context, you assume it's a number. So John saw 666 and he thought, number. John didn't see 666. John saw WWW. And nowadays they're developing that chip they want people to put under their skin. The laws have already been passed in the European Union, in the United States, that give the government the authority to require it. pretty soon everybody's going to have a chip in their hand. And it's going to contain a computer code connecting them to the internet. It's already being used in places like Sweden. Mexico's been using it for 20 or 25 years to protect their prosecutors. Because their prosecutors used to disappear anytime they went after somebody in a drug cartel. And then they'd find them a couple days later dead. So Mexico said, enough of that. They started implanting these chips in the hands of the prosecutors. And when a prosecutor disappeared, the army was there in 20 minutes. And they stopped disappearing. We understand this now. The Bible told us about this. We understand it now. Our knowledge finally caught up to what the Bible said. The Bible wasn't wrong. The Bible was just ahead of us. Whenever somebody says the Bible is wrong, it's not wrong. It's ahead of that person. It's smarter than they are. If I don't understand something, something may look like it's not right to me. But the problem isn't that it's not right. The problem is that I don't understand. Don't ever let anyone tell you the Bible is wrong. It is not wrong. Your understanding is not a flaw in the Word of God. It's a flaw in your understanding. So if you don't understand how something can be in the Word of God, there's no problem with the Word of God. There's a problem with your understanding. Don't confuse the two. People tend to be very self-centered and they tend to be kind of arrogant sometimes, thinking they know everything. And that if they don't understand it, it can't be right. No, you just don't understand it. How many people understand quantum mechanics? Well, it doesn't mean that quantum mechanics isn't right. It means that nobody really understands it. We still have to learn about it. It's ahead of us. And we need to catch up to it. The Word of God can be relied on. The Word of God is 100% correct because every word in the Bible came from God. 2 Timothy 3:16. Every word of God came from God. Yes, He used people to write it down. But you know what? A lot of people use other people to write things down. You ever hear of a secretary taking dictation for the boss? A lot of people use people to write things down. God used people to write things down. Now, you can trust God, and trusting God is faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, but faith has powerful implications, powerful results. In Hebrews 11, you have an entire list of people who did some pretty amazing things by faith. Imagine, for example, being Moses. You're standing at the Red Sea, you're holding a stick. Now, Moses knew that stick wasn't anything special, it was just a stick. Yes, God used the stick, but it was just a stick. Why did God use the stick? Because God wanted their attention to be drawn off of false gods and the idea of false gods to focus their attention whereby it could be turned to Him. But the power wasn't in the stick. The power was in God who told Moses what to do with the stick. So Moses holds this stick, the staff, out, and the Red Sea parts. Now I always wondered, imagine being the first guy in. What was that like? I mean, Israel trusted God at that time. I mean, I would trust God too if I just saw the Red Sea part. You got these two walls of essentially ocean water. It's a sea, but it's a huge sea, right? It looks like an ocean to you. There's these two huge walls of water. You're going on the bottom on the ground, and the ground is dry. I think if it was muddy, they'd be nervous. But the ground was dry. And they went through it, and there was no problem. They responded to God in faith. Now, I'm sure there was somebody in Israel, but they went anyway. He kind of looked at those walls and said, I hope they don't come down on me. That's human. But they still went through. That's faith. When you trust God enough, despite the way things appear, to respond to Him, then you're living in faith. All of Israel went through. There were somewhere between 2 and 4 million people. Every one of them went through. And then when the Egyptians who did not trust God, the Egyptian army that was following them, that wanted to take them back into captivity, they did not trust God. When they went into the Red Sea, when they tried to experience somebody else's faith, not their own, it didn't work for them. And the water collapsed on the entire Egyptian army. And they were all drowned. To this day, the chariots are still in the bottom of the Red Sea. The remnants of the chariots can be found. Because portions of them were metal. You can find chariot wheels at the bottom of the Red Sea. So Israel goes through on dry ground. Egypt tries to live off of Israel's faith. Egypt could not live off of their faith. You cannot live off of somebody else's faith. Because faith is a relationship between you and God. The way that faith comes is by the hearing of the Word of God. Hebrews 11:1 does tell us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And indeed, yes, of course, obviously, that is true. It is a substance, it is the evidence. In other words, it will be there, it will happen, it'll take place, whatever it is. Faith tells you that, faith gives you that confidence that that which is not seen can be real and it is real. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. Some people say seeing is believing. I got news for you. Seeing cannot be believing because you can't see. What you think you see, you only see 10% of anyway. The rest of it is filled in by your brain. We've talked about that before. We're not going to go into that today. The rest of it is filled in by your brain, though. So even when you think you see something, you don't always see it. I thought I saw a black cat in dark rooms many a time. This is the most common thing that happens to people in the dark room. When you see something that isn't there, it's a black cat in a dark room. Almost universal experience. Why? Because your brain saw something you didn't define. The brain interpreted it for you. It defined it as a black cat. Then you look again, you turn on the light and whatever, and you find out, no, it wasn't a black cat. It was a shadow from something outside. Happens all the time to people. You can't trust what you see. But you can trust faith. If it's faith. Faith is not just believism. Look at India. They have one God for every three people. That's unbelievable. It's demonic as can be. Is it faith? It's believism. They're sincere in their belief, but it does nothing with God. It's not faith. Faith always has to do with the God of the Bible. Why? Because Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing of the Word of God. And so faith is not something that we define. That's what happens in some of these cults and these religions and stuff. They define their faith. The ancient countries around Israel were notorious for this. They would set up a cow and they say, oh, this is our God. No, that is a cow. No, it's our God. No, it's a cow. And not only is it a cow, it's not even a real cow. You took a hunk of gold, you made a cow out of it. How is that faith? You see, no, it's not faith, it's believism. faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God. That is the only real source of faith. Everything else is believism. Now, when you have faith, the reason why it gives you understanding is because it's the mind of Christ in your frame of reference. It is entirely possible for a person to think the thoughts of God. That's faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing of the Word of God is the Word of God. The mind of God on any subject whatsoever is found in the Word of God, in the Bible. When you have that as your frame of reference, you are thinking the thoughts of God. Whether you are trying to or not, whether you are aware of it or not. The Holy Spirit who lives inside of you in John 16:13 is going to guide you in God's thoughts. Because He guides you in all truth. And Jesus told us in John 17:17 that His Word is truth. Therefore, you can say very confidently, the Holy Spirit guides you in the Word of God. As you're thinking and you have the frame of reference of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is guiding your thoughts to think correctly with the Word of God. Therein is faith. Yes, it is the substance and it is the evidence of things not seen and things hoped for. But where does that come from? It comes because you have the Word of God, God's thoughts, as your foundation for thinking. That's faith. Anything else is not pleasing to God because everything else is sin. Nothing else will survive. Only faith will survive. Because the blood of Christ will not let anything else survive. Now, the beauty of it is that when we think with the mind of God, we're actually thinking along the terms of who we are. We're not trying to think with something we don't know. We're not trying to agree with somebody we don't know. We're functioning in that which has already been established. In Ephesians 2:15-16, you were present with Christ at the cross. Now, that may seem difficult for people to understand. How was I present with Christ at the cross? Sometimes we see that as almost a metaphysical kind of a pie in the sky idea, theological, philosophical, mystical type thing. And then we say, okay. It's much more straightforward than that. In Revelation 13:8, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. The word from is the word apo, and it denotes a source. The word foundation is katabolēs, and it means the laying down of a structural foundation. So the Lamb being slain was the source of the laying down of the structural foundation. The cross and the blood are what everything is built on. So by virtue of being on earth, you are on the cross. Now, Jesus died for the sins of the entire world. That means the lost also. Sometimes there's a tendency to think that on the cross it was only the Christians that became one with Him. No, the non-Christians too. Unbelievers too. Then why aren't they saved? Because in Ephesians 2:8, salvation is a gift of grace that comes by faith. Faith is the operative word. Why? Because whatever is not of faith is sin. The blood of Christ in Revelation 1:5 washes away all sin. The person who never got saved in Matthew 7:21-23 was a person that Jesus did not know. Despite the fact that they may have been religious, despite the fact that they may have all kinds of good works, Jesus never knew them. Never is a time reference. That person who is not saved never had a moment of faith in time, and the blood of Christ washed them away because their entire life amounted to sin. Not because they were a bad guy, not because they did wicked things. They may have, they may not have, that's not relevant. But because whatever is not of faith is sin, the blood of Christ removes all sin and it removes it out of time. That person was removed out of time. Yes, at the cross they were the body of Christ. The blood of Christ was shed over his body and removed everything that's not faith, everything that is sin. It removed all sin. Their life was sin. It removed them. No one really has an excuse. Because every one of us, saved or not, we're there. Because we're on earth. The slain lamb, the cross, and the blood are the structural foundation of everything. Now, this is not a new doctrine. This is not an old doctrine. This is not a doctrine at all. This is telling you how the doctrine works. Why is it that people aren't saved? Why is it that sin is not remembered in Hebrews 8:12? How does it work that Jesus, who in 1 John 3:20 knows all things, and yet he doesn't know them? How could God not know somebody who lived? Well, this is how it works. I'm not teaching you a doctrine. I'm teaching you the mechanism behind the doctrine right now. This is the mechanism. This is not the doctrine. This is the mechanism. We know the doctrine. This is how the doctrine works. The blood of Christ removes everything that's not sin. When Revelation 1:5 says all sin, it literally means all. It didn't say just your sin. Sometimes we have a tendency to think, well, the blood of Christ removes all my sin. Yes, it does, and all other sin also. It literally removes everything that is a sin in time. In Psalm 103:12, when the Word of God says that God removes sin as far as the east is from the west, it literally means from time. It's space-time. And so that person is removed, even though they were at the cross with Christ. Faith is what allows you to live. It's heartbreaking, really, when you consider how many people hear the Word of God, but they don't trust it. They don't use it as their frame of reference. And how deeply and profoundly they're wasting away their lives, the one life that God gave them. There's going to be such sorrow for some people at the Bema Seat, and it's heartbreaking because it didn't have to be. But they simply wouldn't get beyond themselves through humility to operate in faith. Just trust Him. Receive His Word. And let it become your frame of reference. Just trust Him. He's highly trustable. Just trust Him. Believe Him. When God says something, believe Him. He's not lying. He can't lie. There are certain things not even God can do, and lying is one of them, because by definition, He is the truth in John 14:6. So you can trust Him. Faith is when you're thinking with the Word of God. That's why it can be a substance of things hoped for and the assurance of things not seen. That's why if you have faith, you can move every mountain in your life. You can overcome absolutely anything whatsoever. Not because there's a special power that I now possess because I have faith, but because you're thinking with truth. And Christ has already overcome everything that is in the world. You are thinking with Christ. And since you are one person with Him already, everything that pertains to Him pertains to you. Because you are the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12:27. There are people who say if you don't get answers to your prayers, it's because you don't have faith. Or you don't have enough faith. And they put a trip on you. It's nonsense. Faith is not about whether you got an answer to prayer or not. Faith is thinking with God. Well, God has plenty of reasons why people don't necessarily receive promises or answers to prayer. Some of those people, as Hebrews 11 mentions, don't receive the fulfillment of the promise so they can obtain a better resurrection. In other words, yeah, here in time, they could have got an outcome, they could have got the promise, they could have got this thing that would be fulfilled here in time, but it's not going to be eternal. But because they did not receive what they believed, God gave them a better resurrection, God gave it to them in eternity, God gave them riches in eternity, God gave them far beyond anything. Even if He gave them absolutely everything in time, it would still pass away. But in eternity, it will never pass away. They really did obtain a much better eternity. Your life is not about time. Your life is about eternity. That's why in Ecclesiastes 3:11, God puts eternity in your frame of reference so that you can understand what God is doing from beginning to end. So that you can see your place in the plan of God. So that you can understand how you fit into the will of God and the impact of your life within that will on eternity. All comes by faith. Understand what faith is. It's not just, oh, I believe. Faith is, I have the mind of God because I have the Word of God in my frame of reference. And with the mind of God, it is absolutely impossible for anyone to go wrong. The details are not important. They are details. Details change on a dime. Thinking with the Word of God, that's eternal. That's powerful. That can give you wisdom beyond any human capacity. But you can possess it. Because you're thinking with the Word of God. In John 15:7, if you abide in me, and we mentioned that before, that means in 1 John 4:16 that you are abiding in the love of God. And my words abide in you. Well, that's the Word of God in your frame of reference. If God's words abiding in you, then you're thinking with God's Word. My Word abides in you. You can ask whatever you want. It will be done for you. And then the flesh says, ooh. Not if you're thinking with God, it's not like that. If you're thinking with God, what you're going to ask is according to your thinking. And you're thinking with God. It's far beyond, far better, far more amazing than anything the flesh can ever hope for. The Word of God is pure, perfect, holy, just, complete, and extremely powerful. The flesh is utterly corrupt. So your old sin nature, when you have the mind of God, is pushed aside. It cannot be eliminated, but it can be, you could say, inactivated. Because you are thinking with God. when you're thinking with God, you understand things as they are because you're thinking in truth. It doesn't matter what things look like. It doesn't matter what other people will say. You are thinking in truth. You get into a tough spot in your life, don't start looking at the tough spot or the circumstances or the people. Be responsible, yes, granted, but don't start worrying about it. Don't gaze at it. Oh, this is what's going on. This is what's going on. This is what's going on. This is what happened. This is what they said. This is what they did. None of that stuff matters at all. None of that has any consequence. Oh, but I caused it to happen. Don't sweat it. The blood of Christ has taken care of you. When something difficult happens, just keep thinking with the Word of God. Don't even bother worrying about the circumstance. Just keep thinking with the Word of God. There's nothing that God's not going to overcome. There's nothing that can get you down. There's nothing that can knock you out. There's nothing that can hold you back except for your own wrong thinking. Just keep thinking with the Word of God. Now, you may see things going wrong on the left of you, and you may see things going wrong on the right of you. Don't even look at them. Walk right through them. Thinking with the Word of God, keeping your gaze straight. And then you'll find that you are not touched. There may be people at times who come against you because you're a Christian. That happens to Christians sometimes. Don't worry about them. Let's say that you have a boss. When you young folks are older later on, and then of course we older folks know what that means. You have a boss, and the boss comes against you because you're a Christian, and he doesn't like that you're a Christian. He tries to give you a hard time, or maybe even fire you because you're a Christian. Sometimes they try to set you up because you're a Christian. I know of one circumstance. A Christian was working at a job and the boss tried to set him up to get him fired because he didn't like the fact that they were a Christian. Long story short, the boss got fired because he tried to get rid of the Christian. It doesn't work. If somebody sets a snare for you, you won't fall in it, they will. It doesn't work. If somebody comes against you, don't worry, God will make sure it turns on them. You operate in the mind of God. You operate in faith. You trust God. You think with the Word of God. Don't think with your circumstances. Don't think with other people. Don't think with anything at all except the Word of God. Then you can ask anything you will. And it'll be done for you. Not bad. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.